Welcome to On The Record, Two Mics Fabulous Podcast. Some people call it Fabuloso Porky. We've been doing it now for quite a long time.
We have, yeah.
We've got about 5 million listens. We're heading up towards 6 million listens.
We are.
This is fantastic news.
Yes.
People were very happy with your Porky vision last week, by the way.
Were they?
They said it was back to its nonsensical best.
Well, somebody said that he listened to Porky Vision and then at the end of it, he was convinced that he knew more about the programme that I was talking about than I did.
Well, he also
which
was
isn't
convinced.
Very nice,
I mean, a lot
it?
Of people said it's far more entertaining actually listening to your version of the shows than actually watching the real version.
Yeah, the shows are better when I describe them than they are when you see them. That's true, yeah.
What's the name of that Irish guy again?
Who?
The Irish guy, Frank. What's
Frank
his name?
Who? Oh, he was...
The one from Blood.
Yeah, that's right. He was in Blood. And by the way, I'll tell you how that ended, because I'm not going to do the Porky Vision for a while.
Well, you don't have to tell us how it ended, do you?
Yeah, I do. I do, because it ended at the start. What they did is they did the four programmes, right, and then they did Prologue, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they come with the first programmes first. And, you know, the daughter who'd come home and... Did you kill my mummy? Did you... Daddy, just tell me, did you kill my mummy? And in the end, a very dramatic scene at this pond that was his, his wife's favourite Irish beauty spot, you know. He turned and said, I have to tell you, Kat, I did kill your mummy.
He's admitted it.
Yeah,
well,
but
don't give that away.
No, it's all over now.
Yeah, but hang on, people might not have seen it.
Oh, well, that's tough luck, you should see it.
Apparently there's going to be a season two.
Is there a season two? Yeah, well, no, it doesn't matter, she's dead. But the point is, it was a mercy killing. This one was so ill, you know, with all sort with that motor neurone disease that didn't kill the great famous scientist, Stephen Hawking.
Oh, Stephen Hawking,
Yeah. She was dying and degenerative, and it showed what a terrible life she had. He had to, you know, bathe her and wash her and lift her out of bed and feed her and all that. It was a horrible existence. And she said, you know, next time I fall down on the ground, I don't want you to ring the ambulance and I don't want you to revive me. So he didn't, so she died.
Oh, dear.
In fact, he put a blanket over her face,
right.
You know.
Well, now you've given it all away.
But that was a mercy killing. But he's still a bent doctor because the cost of the nurse to look after his wife all day while he was out at work was so prohibitive, he started stealing money off his patients.
Really?
Like his 18-year-old patients, you know?
Well, what about this mad Frankie bloke that you were talking about?
Mad Frankie, who's
he? The guy that you said was festering Frank or whatever his name is.
Oh, no, you know, Frank the Skank.
Frank the Skank,
Well, Frank the Skank only appeared in half an episode.
So he's not really a major character.
Got mowed down by the daughter, you know, after he staggered into the road completely pissed out of his face.
Frank the Skank,
and was never seen of again, you know. He just... I don't even know why he was in the whole fucking plot.
Maybe he'll make a reappearance in the second season.
Maybe Frank the Skank.
Anyway, that's enough of Blood, which was on Channel 5.
Honestly, sometimes you read stories which just beg your belief.
Yeah.
So, for instance, this bloke decided, you know, as he is a family man, he wanted he and his wife and their little child to have a life closer to nature.
Oh, yeah.
So what he did is, they went out into the Yukon and
is this in Alaska?
Well, it's on the Canadian side of the Alaskan border, actually. It goes out into the Yukon, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, which I will never work out, he decided that they'd live in a remote log cabin, which he built himself.
Well, I think most of the Yukon is pretty remote, isn't it?
It is pretty remote,
I don't think you're going to find a sort of thriving metropolis there, are you?
But the nearest town was the capital of Alaska, 500 miles away.
Right.
I mean...
Is that Juneau?
No, it's the other one. What's it called? What's the capital of...
Anchorage.
Anchorage, that's the one, Anchorage. Okay. So, but I mean, what I'm saying is, the nearest bit of civilization, because it's such a vast region, Alaska and the Yukon, right?
Yes.
It was 500 miles away. Now, that's like, if you live in London, the nearest civilization to you is something like the Shetland Isles. In fact, it's beyond the Shetland Isles. It's Iceland, probably. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how far away it is by land.
It's a massive area, isn't it?
Massive area, yeah.
Does he travel around by car or dog sled or what?
Sled. A sled in the winter. Right. Four-wheel drive car in the summer.
Yeah.
Goes around catching fish to eat. He was a trapper, so he was trapping wolves and things like that.
Trapper John? What was that?
Trapper John.
Was that High Chaparral? Was that Trapper John?
No. They didn't trap things in High Chaparral.
There was some guy called Trapper John, do you remember?
Yeah, Trapper John. It wasn't in the High Chaparral. They spent all the time...
Boy Blue.
Blue. They spent all the time shooting the Apaches who kept jumping over their fence into the High Chaparral.
Trying to get into the knickers of Big John's Mexican
Victoria.
Misses.
Yeah, well, Big John...
was rather comely, I seem to remember.
Yeah, Big John was about 73. fucked completely, knackered. I'd spent too long.
So would you be if you were married to her?
No, but he'd spent too long in the saddle. I think it'd done a lot of damage, you know, riding around all the planes for decades. I don't think he was able to.
I told you
properly...
the guy that played Buck, right? For some bizarre reason.
Yeah.
He used to live in Hampstead.
No, yeah, you see him every, yeah, that's
every,
right.
You
yeah.
see him every Saturday yeah. afternoon, and he still wore the kind of leather waistcoat and all that, looking like he was still in the High Chaparral.
Yes, amazing.
A strange man.
But Victoria was always perfectly turned out, like she was in a beauty competition every day in the middle of the fucking New Mexican desert.
I know.
You know, where there isn't any soap or water or anything. You know what I mean?
Her hair was always perfect.
Yeah, her hair was always perfect. And the guys who lived in the Chuck House, you know, or whatever it's called, the ranch, what's it called?
The stable kind of area.
Well, the stable area, but what do they call it, where all the ranch hands live? And these filthy ranch hands.
Yeah,
that's right. They don't wash for about 3 or 4 weeks when they're on the trail, you know.
Driving the steers
and you know, there's no, like, sanitary facilities or anything.
It's not good.
I wouldn't have thought they're very attracted to
Victoria
by the time they got
John
back.
Was. I'll have to look that up and see.
Yeah, but anyway, so this guy, you know, really responsible family man, his name is Germund Rosdolf. I think he's of German extraction. Yeah, I think he's a bit of German, isn't it? So he goes out one day, you know, to do his trapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anchorage, Alaska, the nearest large city, 500 miles away, yeah. So he goes out one day.
Yeah.
And on the way back.
Yeah.
With his couple of, he didn't even catch anything exotic like bears or anything.
Was he going out to get food,
possums.
In other words?
Well, he's going out, A, to get food, but B, to get skins, because that's the only business he had was selling skins.
Who did he sell them to?
Well, I think he drove once a month to 500 miles to Anchorage and flogged a few skins. But, I mean, all this about get back to nature. Anyway.
I mean, you can't make money selling pelts, can you?
Well, he apparently did.
Blimey.
Anyway, so what he did is, so he's coming back, and as he's walking back, this fucking huge brown bear, grizzly bear, leaps out the trees, you know, and runs towards him. So he shoots the bear.
Yeah, so he's walking back with all these dead animals, and a bear attacks him.
A bear rushes
in the middle
out
of nowhere.
Well, it's in the Yukon, which is the middle of nowhere, as you've pointed out already.
Right. Well, indeed.
So what happens is he shoots the bear and he thinks, well, that's a good day because you get a lot for a bear pelt, you know, a bear skin.
Well,
he's got
to skin it then, though, hasn't he?
No, he's got to skin it and all that, but he thinks he'll come back for that later.
Right, okay.
He's only got one problem is that when he gets home, he's found that the bear has massacred his wife and child whilst they were exercising around the log cabin.
Not sure why that's very funny, but it's the way you tell them.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, didn't the idiot realise, if he lived in the Yukon, that grizzly bears do roam around?
Well, he said it was a brown bear.
It was a brown bear, brown grizzly.
Well, it's got to be, it's a brown bear or a grizzly bear. There's a black bear, you can get a brown bear, you can get a grizzly bear, you can get a polar bear.
You can get a brown grizzly.
You can get a koala bear, which is not actually a bear at all.
Well, he's a grizzly bear anyway.
Grizzly. Yeah. Well, those are the big ones. Yeah, also a Kodiak bear. Those are the biggest ones, I think.
Are they? Well, this is a grizzly bear. Anyway.
Well, didn't he give his missus a gun?
Well, if he did, she didn't have time to use it. The bear leapt on them and they had appalling injuries when he got back. And you know what bears do when bears feed off humans? They prefer to eat a human while the human's alive.
Well, I think you've often spoken about how you escape from a bear.
All right, you escape. You get two branches, but you've got to have time to prepare this.
Yeah.
You get two branches, you get a sheet between the two branches, hold it above your head so you look like you're 9 feet tall.
But if you haven't got a sheet handy, what are you going to do?
Well, you can use fern from the forest and all this kind of
fern.
Stuff. And you run at it and flap everything, and the bear thinks you're bigger than it, and it runs off.
What was the
story
you told about it sort of using its claws to rip your buttocks?
Yeah, they do. They eat human beings alive.
Yeah.
And what they do is they put their left foot on your back to keep you where you are. Because if you've got, like...
Are they left-footed, then?
Well, left or right, doesn't matter, really. But,
I suppose if you're lying there, you don't really care whether it's their left or their right foot.
I think you'll find a bear's right-handed, it's better to put his left foot on your back while he uses his right hand to scrape the flesh off your buttocks and eat you like you are, you know, like a human being would take pate out of a container, you know
really,
what I mean?
Really obsessing me.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. And
what happened to this guy, anyway?
Well, he shot the bear, so the bear's dead.
He gets back,
finds out his wife and child.
And how old is his child?
Not very old.
It's a terrible story.
He was only 37, right?
Right, so Charles probably under 10.
Yes, Charles was under 10, that's right. Charles was, in fact, 7.
Oh, God.
Mm, that's right.
That's awful.
It is awful.
It's a terrible story, this.
Yeah, it is a terrible story, but what I'm saying is...
I mean, any parent listening to you telling this story would be in absolute paroxysms of horror.
Yes, but you should be in paroxysms of horror, because how can a parent be so irresponsible as to bring his child up and leave his wife alone in a log cabin when grizzly bears are roaming around massacring human beings?
He must have been able to prepare her for that, because if he went off on a regular basis to get these pelts, he must have left her with some form of self-defence, surely.
Well, no, I don't think he did.
Really?
I don't think he did. It said Heather Jones, the chief coroner, said that Mrs. Thiare, that's the wife of... The other guy.
I thought it was a German sounding.
German.
It was somebody else's wife he was with.
Eh?
You sure it wasn't somebody else's wife?
No, I don't think they got married, you see.
Oh, right.
I don't think they got married. I think they were like a modern couple, didn't
they? Cohabiting.
That's it, yeah. So Ms. Thiare, who was apparently of French extraction with a name like that, had taken Adele, their little girl, for a walk sometime between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, if you take a little girl for a walk in a park in London or Nottingham or Newcastle, it's quite safe.
Yeah.
And you take your little girl for a walk in the Yukon,
in
the middle of this vast tundra desert, where there are grizzly bears, brown bears, black bears roaming around, it's not safe.
The bears are now attracted to humans because they know that's where the food is. I mean, you've told the story of when you were, you know, up in somewhere up in that neck of the woods when you saw the polar bears attacking people.
That was in Manitoba.
Manitoba.
That's North Canada.
That's in Northern Canada.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
But the point is, they come into the town
now
because of the fact that they love the idea of the food and the bins and everything. I mean, do you remember our good friend Mark Donaldson that we speak to from time to time?
Yes.
He put out a video once of his house. And he lives in Connecticut.
Oh, with a bear in the back garden.
Well, the bear was not only in the back garden, it was going through his bins.
Yeah, that's right,
The bear was going through his recycling.
That bear could have smashed through his windows, couldn't it?
Well, it could have done.
Did he have a gun?
I don't think he's got a gun, no.
Oh, blimey, should get one.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, Mr. Rose Holt is of Norwegian extraction.
Norwegian, okay.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What a terrible thing to happen.
And a veteran big game hunter.
Right.
And he was hunting on that day wolves, foxes, lynx.
Wolves.
And other animals. And he sold his wares at an outdoor market some 50 miles away. So I don't know what that was all about, you know.
You might say, of course, that he's been the victim of karma. Because it's not really very... I mean, a lot of people don't think it's very nice to
Instant karma's going to get you.
A lot of people don't think it's very nice to go hunting creatures with a gun.
It's going
to
knock you right in the head.
Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's right.
Is that a John Lennon song by any chance?
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's one very inappropriate quote in this. Somebody who knew them, you know, from Anchorage, who used to give them supplies, said, oh, honestly, they were a lovely couple.
Yeah.
They were having the time of their life.
Well, clearly not.
Look, that's not the time of your life when you get mauled to death by a bear.
Well, it's a nice quote, that. It's not an inappropriate quote.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but people like to go and live in the wilderness, you know? It's always going to attract people to do that. But I'm staggered and saddened, to be, if I'm honest, that a little girl has been caught up in it.
Well, it's shocking.
Because if two adults want to do it, that's one thing.
That's right.
But to allow a seven-year-old little girl to be, you know, exposed to that kind of nasty ghastliness.
That danger, yeah. But it's so remote, right, that when Mr. Rosholt.
Are you sure you're pronouncing that right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound Norwegian to me.
Rosholt? Well, it's a bit of German.
That sounds even more German.
But he, when he got his act together, he fired his alarm gun, which is a flare into
alarm
the sky.
Gun. Right.
Yeah. And guess what?
What happened then?
It took the Mounties, right?
Mounties.
A Mountie always gets his man.
Mounties always get their man.
But he didn't get the bear because the bear was already dead. It took the Mounties a day and a half to get to him.
Well, how'd they see the flare?
Because the flare goes up in the air and they can see it from their spotting post around the Yukon.
For fuck's sake, I mean, you can't, if it takes you, if you see a flare, you must be close enough to get there within a day, surely.
No, it took a day and a half to get there.
I don't believe that.
On horseback. It did.
I don't believe it.
That's how remote the whole thing is, you know. But I mean, I was...
Is he going to carry on there or is he going to move back to Norway maybe and mourn the death of his daughter? His
I don't
wife?
Know now. But I mean, you know, all these people who say the great outdoors and all this. And I mean, I are quite attracted to parts of Canada like, for instance, Vancouver.
Right.
Where there are blue lakes and there are pine forests which stretch up the mountains into the hills
and all
that.
There's probably quite a few bears there.
Well, apparently there aren't. Apparently there aren't. Apparently they're all right there. Because it's not a wilderness. It's not a wilderness. No, there's not. No.
Vancouver, of course, is a bloody wilderness.
No, no.
It's
no,
a
no.
massive city. Yeah. Right? They've got great seafood there, I'm told, although I haven't been
well,
there.
Well, it's on the edge of a lake. That's
yeah, it's
why,
on the,
yeah.
Well, it's on the yeah. sea as well, isn't it?
It's on the sea, yeah. That's right, yeah.
A lot of a lot of Asian communities there, a lot of immigration from the Far East and all of that, Southeast Asia. But I'm told.
Yeah.
But of course, it's the wilderness, because once you get out of the city, you're in the midst of nowhere.
Yeah, well, you say that, but
you don't want to go and live there. You'd hate it.
Oh, I hate Canada. Tell you lived there, our old friend James Lawton. Jimmy Lawton felt he wasn't getting a good deal in Fleet Street, so he went and worked for the Canadian sports magazine. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
Was
it Maclean's?
That's right, Maclean's, that's right.
Well, they do a sort of Time-type magazine, don't they, which I think might be Maclean's, the sports magazine published by the same people.
Yeah, that's right.
It's called something else, maybe Maclean's Sport.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine went to be editor of the Toronto Globe and Mail.
Oh, yeah, who was that?
Richard Addis. Remember him?
Oh, I remember him, yeah.
He was editor of the Daily Express for a while.
Oh, that's right,
He got hired by the Toronto Globe and Mail.
Right.
Because they thought he was some kind of design genius.
Yes, yes.
Which I have to say he wasn't.
No, of course he wasn't.
But,
he
went there, he's terribly
posh. Design a Mars bar wrapper up for.
Well, I mean, I was his main designer for a lot of stuff that we did, because we ended up working on the Mail on Sunday after that as well.
Sure, sure.
But he, funnily enough, spoke very, very well, because his name was Addis, right? And that might remind you of Addis Brushes.
My father worked for the company, I've told you.
Well, his family owned it.
Yeah, well, that's right.
So if you'd ever met him, you could have said my father was one of your slaves in the early days.
Based in Hertfordshire.
Right.
My dad used to drive down there every 2 years and pick up a new Morris Minor estate.
Uh-huh.
With all
the old station wagon.
That's right, yeah.
Shooting brick.
That's right. With all the samples piled up in the back, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Do you think he ever took a few that they didn't know he was taking?
Oh, he took them all the time, but it was ridiculous. I used to have to go to kids' parties and give people bath brushes made by Addis because the parents were too mean to buy a proper present
it's
for
a shocking,
kid.
Shocking state of affairs.
You know, imagine turning up at a party with a
bog brush.
Yeah, or a plastic bowl.
That's nice.
And say, yeah, it's a present
that's
for
nice.
You.
That's nice. What about the dustpan and brush?
Yeah, dustpan and brush, yeah. Gave away a few of those.
That's horrendous. No wonder you turned out the way you did.
That's right,
awful story.
Yeah, it was just ludicrous, you know. I was made to feel like a fool. And
you might as well prepare yourself for a lifetime of it.
I didn't take that lightly. Now, listen, while we're talking about that part of the world, just very quickly, this really worries me. Americans dying younger as opioid crisis deepens.
Why is it worrying you?
Life expectancy in the United States continues to fall as more Americans commit suicide or die from drug overdoses.
You're full of the joys of spring today,
aren't
you?
I am, aren't I?
Are these the two stories you want to talk about?
In the longest decline in longevity since the First World War. For decades, Americans had enjoyed steadily improving prospects as life expectancy rose. It's now going backwards.
Right.
Now, what are opioids?
Well, opioids are, I would imagine, drugs which are related to opium. And opiates, right? So opioids would be morphine.
Synthetic opioids such as fentanyl,
right?
Blamed for the death toll, which is the steepest among adults aged 25 and 54.
Right.
It's all these antidepressants and things.
Well,
I'll
tell you a bit more about it in a minute. The thing about opioids, is that some of them may be synthetic, some of them may not be, but they will be things that are sort of related to morphine, basically.
Okay.
Because you know what it's like in America. I mean, if you go to a doctor in this country and basically say, look, I'm feeling a bit rough. I think there might be something wrong with me. I mean, you've been telling us lately you think you've got Lyme disease.
Yes, that's
I don't
think
they give you any kind of medication. They basically say to you, well, I'll tell you what, I think you'd probably be okay. Why don't you see how it goes for about a week?
Mm.
And if you're still feeling rotten, come back in a week.
I'll give you some more.
And I'll give you something to take. Now, so their first option is not to give you anything at all. In America, if you go to the doctors, I mean, literally, they're stuffing you full of drugs.
Yes.
They'll give you more drugs than you can shake a stick at.
Yes.
Because they want you to take drugs.
Yeah.
Because in this country, they don't want you to take drugs.
Right.
It's kind of the complete reverse of the situation.
Complete reverse.
But I don't know why you're worried about it. Because one, you don't live in America.
No.
Two, if the American population starts dying earlier, what difference does it make
to you? Well, normally what happens in America ends up happening here all the time.
I don't think that's true anymore.
When America sneezes, Europe coughs, okay?
I thought it was when America sneezes, the world catches a cold.
No, when America coughs, Europe sneezes. That's what it's all about,
Yes, it is.
Don't
worry. Listen, I've got some info for you.
Oh, have you?
Earlier on, we were talking about Trapper John.
Yes.
What is Trapper John? Trapper John, it turns out, is a drama series.
Oh, yeah.
So somewhere in the depths of my brain, I must have watched it.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's called Trapper John. And it's like a sort of medical show, which was on. And he was
Trapper John.
Well, he was a doctor. Trapper John, M.D.
Oh,
you know, like Chicago.
So it's not about a trapper like who goes around trapping animals.
No.
How ridiculous.
Well, it's not that ridiculous, yeah. But look who was in it.
Yeah.
Timothy Busfield was in it. You remember him?
No.
You remember Lorna Luft?
No.
She was in it.
Lorna Luft, I've heard of. She's
Lorna
an actress.
Luft. Let's yeah, have a look. She's there. That's her, down the bottom.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, I'm just looking.
Maybe not bad.
For the benefit of our listeners who can't see pictures in this podcast, I'm looking at a screen on a tablet, you know, yeah. And that is Lorna Luft.
And,
yeah.
And the guy who's in it is Purnell Roberts, right?
Purnell.
He was an American stage, film and television actor.
Purnell Roberts.
Now, he was already...
Was he a friend of Skip Bornhuder?
Well, I tell you what, he was yeah. in over 60 television yeah. series.
Really?
And guess what? Yeah. You'll like this one. Mm. He was best known for his role as Ben Cartwright's eldest son, Adam Cartwright,
oh,
in Bonanza.
So look, I know him then.
Right?
I know
so
him.
You should know him there.
He used to wear the black hat of all the Cartwright sons.
That's him there.
That's him. I told you, look, he's but got a black hat on.
But interestingly enough,
you.
Right,
yeah.
he, in the
yeah.
later pictures, he looks yeah. a bit like you.
Don't be ridiculous.
He does.
Like me. No, no, don't be ridiculous.
He looks exactly like you.
Now, listen, I tell you what I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, go on.
This week that we're talking about here, there will be another massive lottery winner, you know, somewhere in this country.
Have they
probably
still got
even
the one unclaimed up in Lincoln?
75 million.
76 point something.
76 point. It's a
but
euro.
It is Lincoln, isn't it?
Skegness or Boston.
Skegness. Well, that's Lincolnshire.
Yes, it is, yeah, yeah.
Because you've often talked about Lincoln Cathedral. Do you remember somebody came on
yes,
to us once
right,
on
yeah.
the show
yes, right,
and
yeah.
told us that we were completely mistaken about Lincoln Cathedral?
Yes.
Because I think you were suggesting
yeah.
that it had a similar spire to
yeah,
the one
right,
in Chesterfield.
Yeah, I did.
And
yeah.
it was lean.
No, I didn't. No, no,
it
I never
doesn't,
said that.
Not, it
no,
doesn't lean
said,
or anything.
No, I never said that. You got your facts wrong.
Have I?
Listen, what I want to tell you about is this, you see. I have a point to make here. Now,
thank God for that.
Every week you get a big lottery winner. However, one couple who won 18 million quid.
Yeah.
18 million. Mm. Are aged respectively.
Yeah.
87 and 83.
Right.
This is Dennis Banfield and his wife Shirley, okay?
Dennis and Shirley.
Dennis and Shirley.
Nice.
£18 million. Now, what a complete and utter waste of money.
That's not true.
To give two people of that age £18 million.
No,
they can't possibly ever spend it.
Well,
they don't really want it anyway.
Well, maybe they leave it to their kids.
So in my view, what I'm saying is...
What do you think should happen to it?
I think that nobody over 65 should be allowed to enter the lottery.
Well, then you won't be able to enter it soon, will you?
I'm not even going to respond to that load of nonsense, okay? But
well,
I think maybe I'm 70, maybe 70.
Oh, right,
because
okay,
you could have
suddenly,
a few good years.
Suddenly, you've had a rethink.
Because you could have a few
part
good
two.
You could
well,
have
hang on, what if they've got young kids or grandkids and they want to give the money to? What difference does it make how old they are?
This is what they've done. They've given two-thirds
of it. Well, that's good,
then. Even two-thirds of it to, respectively, their daughter and their son, who've got 6 million quid each.
Well, fine.
Well, they don't deserve it.
Why not?
Why are they getting 6 million quid
because
each for doing nothing?
Well,
they didn't
on.
Even enter the lottery.
Well, if one of your
they
relatives...
didn't even enter the lottery.
All right, calm down. You're still, I can see that you're building up a great deal of resentment here. Because
I am.
Because you've spent about 30,000 quid buying lottery tickets, right, since the 1980s.
That's right, yeah.
You've never won much more than about 100 quid.
25 quid.
You told me once you won a few hundred.
I once won actually 1,600 when I got four numbers.
Wasn't that the time I loaned you the money to buy the ticket?
No.
Are you
no.
sure? I'm pretty
certain,
sure there was a
certain.
Time I loaned you the money to buy the ticket.
I think that was five tickets.
You didn't have any cash.
It was five tickets.
Yeah.
And if you get five tickets plus the... spare number, you know, the bonus number.
Well, it's got harder to win now, hasn't it?
Oh, it's got much harder. Yeah. In fact, it's a joke now. There's 59 numbers. Used to be 49.
Yeah.
It's almost... it's like, you know, the chances of 1 in 27 million.
But the
million
big prizes, really, now, are the ones in,
Euro.
In Euro Millions, aren't they? Do
you
do that as well now, then?
No, I don't do that.
Why don't you do the Euro
Millions? Well, I don't know. You may well be right.
You should get into the... Because you know what?
Yeah.
I always say to people, it's quite amazing how often people in this country win Euro Millions.
Yes.
And apparently it's not available in every European country.
Oh,
it's only available in Spain... Britain, and I think maybe one other.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually, you know, it's not Europe-wide.
Yeah.
So if you live in Britain, you've got a pretty good chance of winning it.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Anyway, look, the point of this story
I'm trying to give you information.
Yeah, I know, trying to give you information, but we're veering off the course here.
All right.
Now, the thing is, they've gone on holiday.
Yeah.
Guess how much their room is costing them a night?
Where have they gone?
They've gone close to where they live.
Right.
Which is in...
you mean... Where are these people from? You haven't said.
The West Country, Bristol.
Bristol.
So they've gone somewhere down the West Country.
So they've gone somewhere down in maybe Dorset or Devon.
Something like that.
Well,
and the room costs £66 a night, right?
They're really pushing the boat
out. And they've got 18 million quid. Now, with 18 million quid...
This is after they've given some away or what?
Well, they've still got 18 million quid. They're planning to give 6 million to each of their two children.
Okay,
and
so
the rest they're
going
to give to... No, they're going to give that to charity.
Well, why do you object to that?
It's a complete waste of money.
Why do you object to that?
Because you shouldn't let people who are going to waste the winnings from a lottery win even enter the lottery.
Well, there's not much the guy who's 87
it should
can
go
do.
To. It should go to honest, industrious people who
well,
work
hard.
No, it doesn't. If I take the effort to walk into a shop, fill in a lottery form, I deserve to win.
Why?
But, you know, the damn lazy children of this couple who never even put a pen to paper are getting £6 million for nothing.
So you're telling
That's an outrage.
You're telling me that you deserve to win it on the basis that you've got in somewhere, filled out a little form, ticked a couple of boxes, and therefore that qualifies you to win.
Yeah.
Why don't you do it online?
Because I prefer to see it in my hand.
Do you do the same numbers every week?
Well, I do one line with the same numbers, and I go random after that,
Well, how many do you do?
I do like five a week.
Isn't it about £2 a ticket now?
Yeah, it is.
So it's a tenner a week.
No, because I do it Wednesday and Saturday.
So 20 a week?
20 a week, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but anyway, look.
That's like £1,000 a year.
Now, I don't begrudge. Yeah. I don't begrudge people who've worked very hard in life and have a bit of worth about them.
Yeah.
To go around.
You'd hate it if I won the lottery, wouldn't you?
That will never happen.
Well, it won't, because I don't do the lottery.
Exactly, that's exactly what I mean. Thank God.
But mother
that,
of my children does it, though.
Does she?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
and she's promised that if she wins it, this is nice,
right? Go on.
She's promised if she wins it, she'll give me £1 million.
No.
I said, well, hang on a minute, I've been bankrolling you for about 20 years.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All I get back is £1 million.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not huge, the lotteries in this country. They could be, for instance, as little as £2 million on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And as little as £4.4 million on a Saturday.
I'll tell you what, if she only got two, she wouldn't give me one.
No, of course she wouldn't.
She'd only give me about £20,000. Probably.
She put half it in trust for your children anyway, you know, do that.
Yeah.
But what I sort of object to here is that this guy, 87, right, wasting all his money, giving it away to his lazy,
I think he sounds a lovely
idle,
man.
You know.
How do you know they're lazy?
Well, they sound like they are to me, you know what I mean?
Well, they probably work for a living, and they probably could do with a little bit of help.
All right, I'll take that back. Yeah. I'll take that back, and I'll say that they're not lazy. They're not lazy.
You don't know they are lazy.
I would track that. What I'm saying is.
They're lucky.
Do you know what he did during his life?
What?
So he served with the army and the RAF.
So he's fought for his country then?
Well, I don't think he was in a war.
How can you slag him off? Well, never mind, he's still prepared to go in a war.
Well, before taking a job, guess where he worked after that?
I don't know.
The South Western Electricity Board.
Well, somebody's got to
Do
work
you think
there.
People from the South West Electricity Board should be allowed to win 18 million quid.
Yeah, I think he's done very well.
He worked there for 40 years.
Well, then he did a good job then.
And his blinking quote after, you know, being sent with a cheque was, and remember they're from Bristol.
Yeah.
It was, Bristol. Yeah, it was, this will not radically change our lives. It doesn't mean a thing to us, really.
He sounds like
well,
Ian
if it doesn't
Holloway.
Mean a thing to you, why did you
Who
enter the
you?
Bastard competition in the first place?
Who are you?
You don't need 18 million quid. You've left it to somebody who needs it. Okay?
Who are you?
Yeah.
He sounds like Ian Holloway.
Yeah.
Ian Holloway.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's so worked up about some poor old guy
who's
won and done something lucky in his life.
Yeah.
I mean, think of the hard work he's had to do. He's had to go to work every day, unlike you and I, who have been very fortunate in life.
Yes.
We've been paid very well for most of our working lives. We've been able to travel to exotic places where somebody else gets to pay for you to have a drink as much as you want, to stay in a five-star hotel, you know, to lie on a beach, to meet all sorts of interesting people. This poor guy has to work for the South West Electricity Board in an office, probably, which is so dire and
dull. Right. He's probably a pen pusher, probably nothing more than, you know, filling forms all his life.
But that's why he deserves to win it.
Yeah,
that's why he deserves to win it.
What he says is, he said, you know, we just want to make sure our children are okay, you know.
What's wrong with that?
To know they are going to be safe for the rest of their lives is a wonderful feeling. We know what we're doing. While I didn't think I would be interested in a new car, I have actually been to see one or two and it's quite tempting.
Is that right?
And the other thing is... I got a really dodgy knee, so I may have a chauffeur.
There you go.
Chauffeur with a dodgy knee?
The envy that
Can
you
I make
have
a suggestion? What is his name? Dennis.
Dennis.
Yeah, get yourself a car that's got an automatic. You've probably never had an automatic car before in your life. You've probably had a, you know...
I don't
like
know why it'd be so horrible to him.
Like a 12-year-old Austin Allegro.
Maybe he's got a Datsun.
You know, which had a 4-speed gearbox
or
something.
Everybody can have a nice car.
You've got
car.
A dodgy knee, just get an automatic. All you have to do, honestly, let me give you an instruction, Dennis.
Yeah.
You put your foot on the pedal to go forward.
Yeah.
You take your foot off the pedal and put on the brake to stop. It's dead easy.
Haven't you got one of those pedals where if you take your foot off it, it actually decreases the acceleration?
No.
Because some people have got that now. Apparently, I think it may be in some of these electric cars.
No.
Where it might be the Nissan Leaf.
Mm.
Apparently, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
When you put your foot on the accelerator, the car moves forward, right?
Right.
When, when you take your foot off the accelerator, the car slows down.
Right.
As if you've got your foot on the brake.
What's that, a Nissan?
I think it's a Nissan Leaf, which
don't
is the electric
like that.
Car.
I'll tell you what I did read today, by the way.
Yeah, go on.
I think it's Tesco's, but it might be another supermarket chain.
Yeah.
They're installing something like 2,500 battery charging points in their...
Now, listen, I thought of you today because I saw that story.
Right.
And you're absolutely right to say that it's a partnership between Tesco's Volkswagen and some other mob, Podpoint or something like that.
Yeah.
You've always said to me, oh, there's never going to be enough electricity to power all these things. Well, there is.
No.
And this is the proof.
No, they've got...
these are going to be faster charging points.
Yeah.
They're going to be brilliant for anyone who's got an electric car. You can basically take your car to Tesco's, go shopping for half an hour, and it's already recharged.
But they're going to have to build a separate power unit to provide that much electricity in a car park. They are.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
They are. That's they're going to have to build their own substation.
Yeah, but it's all going to be built for, it's all going to be using, what do you call it, renewable energy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, you think it's coming from a wind farm next door?
It's all bollocks. Renewable energy.
That's a bollocks.
It's renewable energy.
Renewable energy doesn't work when the wind isn't blowing.
I had the woman from Volkswagen
bollocks.
In.
And that is so much bollocks.
She's going to give me a free car as well.
Oh, she's going to give me a free car.
Yeah.
Oh,
I want one.
Oh, you want your little battery-powered Volkswagen, do you?
No, I don't.
To power up down the M20.
I turned it down.
Yeah, I'm not
surprised.
I don't
go on the M20. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about the M20 for. You're as bad as that bloke David Lammy.
Or the M25.
Who said, oh, there's going to be lots of people queuing up when the Brexit happens on the M26. Well, the M26 doesn't go anywhere, you plank, apart from sideways in Kent.
And by the way, Brazil rainforest destruction rises 13%.
Where's Brazil been? Has he been destroyed?
No, not Mr. Brazil. Rainforest destruction in Brazil has its highest level for a decade, with concerns about further increases under the new far-right populist president, Edson Duarte.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy that wants to shoot drug dealers, isn't he?
No, that's the guy who's his environment minister. Said that illegal logging had been the main factor behind the loss of 7,900 square kilometres.
Oh, yeah. But what do you care about that for?
I don't know why people keep writing these stories. If they did their research like I do, you would find... I just want to tell you something in a minute. That the forestry grows.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know this is cruel, but
you've been cruel tonight, generally.
No, I just found an element to this story.
Yeah.
Mr. Bolsonaro, he's the president...
He's the prez, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Trump of Brazil, isn't he?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
What about him?
He's had to... That's ridiculous, I'm sorry. But he's the president of Brazil.
Right.
And he wants to take office on this day, but the doctors, on the very day he's due to take office, were due to remove his colostomy bag.
I didn't even know he had one.
Well, no, the world didn't.
Why are they
going to
remove it?
Well, because he was due a new one.
Oh, I see.
But the problem is, Mr. Bolsonaro has delayed plans for the removal and replacement of his colostomy bag until 3 weeks after his inauguration.
Is that wise? I'm not sure he should keep it for 3 weeks, should he?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, what a terrible thing that you know your health can produce you sometimes.
Well,
look at my health, look at my diabetes and all that kind of stuff.
Things you haven't got wrong with you.
Yeah,
so at least you haven't got a colostomy bag yet.
Well, listen, don't wish it upon me.
Well,
I know these
things
you do. I know
you've got no spleen now, have you?
Spleen's gone.
Yeah,
is it spleen? Yeah, the spleen, isn't it? That's the diabetes one, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's good. But I'm still fighting back in all sorts of ways. Don't worry about that.
I'm not worried.
Yeah, yeah. And the only other thing I need to tell you, right?
Hurry up.
Yeah, is that...
Well, go on.
Bad neighbours make you feel deprived and depressed.
No wonder how your neighbours feel.
Getting on... Never mind my neighbours, mate. What about me? Getting on with neighbours...
You don't care about your neighbours. You've
getting
got a
on with...
great drug dealer's gate up.
It's not a drug dealer's gate. It is an artistically wrought iron metal gate for which I use for the safety of my premises when I'm away.
Yeah, it's so dangerous there.
Research led by University College London found that perceiving your community to be unfriendly or feeling that you do not fit in...
Yeah. Well, you don't like anybody.
I don't like to speak to anybody around me. I don't people talk to me.
And you're chasing people down the road, telling them to stop dropping litter, spraying the trees with ammonia so their dogs can't actually do anything.
It poses the same health risk as living in a deprived area. Well, thank God I don't live in a deprived area.
Well, you live in a deprived area as well.
No, I don't. See, some guy came up to me on Sutton Station
the other day. Yeah, amazing that he found you at Sutton Station where you don't live.
My
tweet?
But I have loads of business in Sutton. I've told you, my accountants are in Sutton.
Uh-huh.
One of my financial advisors
is. He was lucky to catch you there.
He was very lucky to catch me there, and he came up. And by the way, he's a subscriber
Lee, I think, isn't he?
To Two Mics TV.
Was it Lee?
I'm not sure. Very nice chap in an orange, like, boiler suit type thing, you know, like high vis.
Okay.
High vis.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he'd been an admirer for years, subscribed to TMTV.
Mm, fantastic.
And could you... and I said, of course. I said, I love meeting our listeners and our viewers. And he afterwards described me in his tweet as one of the nicest people he'd ever met.
Really?
Which I think is great, don't you?
Yeah, it's very good, that. Yeah. I assume he doesn't meet very many people, but there we are. Listen, don't forget as well, there's only 1 week to go, or more or less just over a week to go, until our big Christmas show at the Shepherd's Bridge Emperor.
That's right.
Tickets yet, go and get some.
And you can even get a VIP access to the VIP suite.
I think we've released a few more of those as well.
I think we have,
So get onto the2mics.tv.
That's right.
We are the 2mics.
Another great thing I can tell you.
It's on the record.
Another great thing I can tell you. Great Christmas present.
Yeah.
You can buy a year's subscription of TMTV for just £29.99. Mm. Have a look at the2mics.tv.
Do it.
He was a trapper, so he was trapping wolves and things like that.
Trapper John. What was that?
What show was that?
Was that High Chaparral? Was that Trapper John?
No. They didn't trap things in High Chaparral.
There was some guy called Trapper John, do you remember?
Yeah, Trapper John. It wasn't in the High Chaparral. They spent all the time...
Boy Blue.
Blue. They spent all the time shooting the Apaches who kept jumping over their fence into the High Chaparral.
Trying to get into the knickers of Big John's Mexican
Victoria.
Misses,
Big John...
was rather comely, I seem to remember.
Yeah, Big John was about 73. Fucked completely, knackered. I'd spent too long.
So would you be if you were married to her?
No, but he spent too long in the saddle. I think it'd done a lot of damage, you know, riding around all the planes for decades. I don't think he was able to.
I told you the guy that played Buck, right? For some bizarre reason.
Yeah.
He used to live in Hampstead.
You used to
see him every Saturday afternoon, and he still wore the kind of leather waistcoat and all that, looking like he was still in the High Chaparral.
Yes, amazing.
A strange man.
This is Dennis Banfield and his wife Shirley, okay?
Dennis and Shirley. Nice.
£18 million. Now, what a complete and utter waste of money.
That's not true.
To give two people of that age £18 million.
No,
they can't possibly ever spend it.
Well,
they don't really want it anyway.
Well, maybe they'll leave it to their kids.
So in my view, what I'm saying is...
What do you think should happen to
them? I think that nobody over 65 should be allowed to enter the lottery.
Well, then you won't be able to enter it soon, will you?
I'm not even going to respond to that load of nonsense, okay? But I think, maybe I'm 70, maybe 70.
Oh, right, okay. Suddenly you've had a rethink.
Look, that's not the time of your life when you get mauled to death by a bear.